conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family.
Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is
this is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man.
Fire it up, Holmes!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people, on dope?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Make a move and the funny gets it.
Dave's not here.
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
That was sincerely not what I wanted. It was garbled, man. It was garbled. I had to put on my flippin' share page sooner than I should have. Yeah, I mean, all kinds of energies are interfering and making other energies just strange. I'm telling you, strange. Because I love my foreword. I love my show forward. Yes, I'm going to play it again just because I can. Yes. Oh, it's had a whole 2,146 views.
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is...
This is James, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fireball! Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Butler.
What are you?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the funny gets it.
Dave's not here.
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Yeah, I made it into a video. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the whole station. Mike really did me a favor with that. Yep, Mike. Mr. Mike. Yeah, I'm sure he's just having a field day on his dimensional realm, seeing what's going on here, saying, I warned them all. I tried to warn them. I tried to get them to see what our future's going to be if we don't wake the F up now. But so many things have changed. So many energies have been adulterated, manipulated, stolen. And I mean, just so much has happened. That. We really need to stand up and say no. This is past the time of standing up and saying no. We have to do it. Every step we take, it's something that you gotta do to help make the change for the better future. You want to see happy again? You want to see a life where people can actually be the people with other people? I mean, oh my gosh. Huh? Oh, really? Yeah, right? We don't want bigots in our chat. We don't need bigots in our chat. Well, I mean, no. I can't get involved in that. Nope. I can do that and do this one more. Where'd it go? It's supposed to be. Oh, I bet it's up there. That's right. It is the raccoon. The raccoon. Check these out. These are videos for the station. Anyway. So here we is on the 16th day of March 2021. Here at Freedom Slips Icon Revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported, so do us that favor. That's right. Do us that favor. Okay, so then goodbye. Somebody sent this to me in a messenger, so I didn't think I could get it. But thank goodness for Jim Fetzer. I really appreciate what he does on BitChute. I really, really do. So, Jim, anytime you want to, you know, hey, I know you're before me, and it would be interesting to try to have a talk. Because that's one thing I haven't, you haven't been a guest on my show. And here we go.
Across this island and across the world, there are millions of people who are awakening to the understanding that this current health crisis, this so-called pandemic, is a Trojan horse, which has been used to introduce a new era for humanity. The Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Building Back Better, whatever catchy, chirpy name the bankers and billionaires are calling it, it's not good for you and me, for the ordinary people. Relationships between individuals, families, communities, governments and nations will change fundamentally. They're coming for you, your family, your job, your savings, your home, your pension, your culture, your traditions, your freedom, your very way of life. Unless we unite to resist, we do not consent. This is not a conspiracy theory, but the outworking of a scheme written by people who hate the human race. Agenda 21 has been implemented now and will come to pass unless we unite to resist. We do not consent. Last year, a seasonal respiratory virus of high infectivity but low pathogenicity passed across the world and sadly took with it people who were very old, who were already very sick, and most of whom were in the last months and years of their lives. There were younger people who died. May God have mercy on their souls and comfort their families and friends. But in terms of the overall all-cause mortality, there was nothing to see. Seasonal viruses do this every year. They have done since time began, and they will continue to do so no matter what humans do. In 2020, in no country was there a significant increase in overall mortality compared to the past. Ireland in this pandemic actually increased her population by a couple of percent. If we take away the track and trace system, calling for the first time in medical history a case, someone who's perfectly well, who's no symptoms, and which is going to cost the UK government £37 billion over 2 years. I don't even know what £37 billion looks like, what it would buy. Would it be two hospitals? Would it be five hospitals? Would it be 1,000 nurses' jobs? I have no idea. But these PCR tests measure nothing. They are an illusion to create a crisis. If we take away the fact that the WHO changed the rules, changed the way in which we measure disease impact by saying that any death within 28 days of a positive PCR test was due to COVID, and even without a positive test, if you had symptoms, shortness of breath, fever, the things that people die from every day, that was COVID too. If we take away the hourly, incessant misery porn in the legacy media, dolefully recounting the figures and scrutinising the anguished last hours of those who were taken, and the po-faced politicians with crocodile tears pretending to care. If we take away the psychological abuse of populations across this planet, using applied behavioural psychology designed to keep them in terror. If we take away the signage, the arrows, the one-way systems, walk, don't walk, the yellow notices on every flat surface, the sanitisation, the masks, all the paraphernalia of this neurolinguistic programme and mental abuse which tells us that we are the biohazards, we are a danger to our families and friends. If we take all this away, there is nothing to see. The emperor has no clothes. But of course there was something to see, wasn't there? Viruses don't make laws, governments do. But what we did see, what we saw, was removal of our most basic and inalienable rights to work, to earn, to move, to associate, to kiss, to hug, to go to church, to bury our dead with dignity, to live our lives as we see fit. We saw the removal of our right to speak, to protest, to object to this tyranny. We saw censorship, character assassination and banishment of scientists and professors who dared to offer an alternative narrative. We saw our children and young people locked up, denied their education, the right to play outside, to live their precious young lives, however they and their parents saw fit. We've seen millions of the poorest and most marginalised people on the planet pushed to starvation and death because of the economic fallout, because poverty kills. I've worked as a GP throughout this past year, and I've not seen people gasping for breath from COVID, but people utterly abandoned by their health system. People in despair from loneliness, from isolation, from fear. People who haven't seen their families and loved ones for months and whose lives are infinitely poorer as a result. I've seen delayed cancer diagnoses, people having treatments cancelled just willy-nilly, people dying waiting for elective procedures, people in pain who can't get help. Estimates vary, but it's now assumed that between 200,000 and 500,000 extra deaths will occur in the area covered by the NHS. And that's assuming that this lunacy of lockdown stops. And a similar figure, obviously, adjusted for the population in the south of Ireland. The cure is much, much worse than the disease. It's time to move on. This was not about health. It never was about health. It's smoke and mirrors. There are around 30 published papers internationally showing that right across the globe, lockdowns don't work. And if they do, why are we still locked up a year later? The health and economic fallout from this will cost millions of lives, and it will end the way that we live now forever. It's over. The lie has been exposed. We must stand together. We do not consent. On the 20th of March, there's going to be a worldwide rally for freedom. World Freedom Day. Across this beautiful planet, people like you and me will stand together to say enough is enough. We do not consent. Here on the island of Ireland, people from every part, from all political backgrounds, from all faiths and none, from every county and province will stand together to say no. Ulster says no, but so does Munster, Leinster, Connacht, England, Scotland, Wales, Germany, Holland, Peru, right across the world. We will stand together to withdraw our consent. Go to www.freedom-alliance.org for resources to help you through all of this and join us in the Rally of Freedom. I look forward to seeing you there.
Unmute. Oh, now I'm unmuted. Oh my gosh. That was just something else. I mean, it took this long of silence for my dedicated to unmute. It wasn't me. I was here. I was trying to get into chat, but chat ain't coming up. No. Universe is trying to get me to do something else. Something else is going on that I have to remedy one way or another to see if it works. Goodness gracious sakes alive. I mean, I'm afraid to mute, but the whole thing is if I want to play a video, I have to mute. Just... Oh, what am I doing? It's just crazy. Crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. Wouldn't any of us think we have control? Let's do Evan Bunny! In a video I listened to today, earlier on demonic Just. Yeah, you know, we just think it's, you know, lies, cheats, steals, suicide, you know, There are such bigger players going on here. And other avenues that humans just think is all fantasy. And it's not fantasy. Oh, just the stuff going on. Happening. Oh, goodness. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, well, okay, so. Yes. Where'd it go? Oh, nice. Yeah, but it ain't gonna happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Oh, jeez. If I could even think about it. Jeez. I'm just like, wait a minute. She said it right, though, didn't she? Yes, she did. She said it right. What are we going to do about all this? What can we do about all the destructive? You can only have a love. That's all you can do is rebuild that unconditional love. The love that life is supposed to be here with us, for us, because of us. Yeah, because you put out, you get what you get, you know, I mean, hey, because I was thinking about the different realms of realities through the perspectives of the dimensions, and so many doors, but you don't always know what's behind that door now, do you? And can you recognize the facts of one cause from another? Like, oh yeah, we can be promised all this stuff and we're going to think it's going to happen, but it's like, oh yeah, it's going to be a cleaner planet when we get rid of all the animals, and then we'll get rid of all the people, and then it'll be just us. The demonic crew of what we've helped create is a reality, but we can change it. We can make a difference. We just have to wanna. And to be able to recognize the difference between love and just good old things happening. You know what I mean? Just good old things happening. Jeez. Because we don't get it because we're not out there creating it. We're not out there trying to wake it up and to see that, you know, it's our creation that we're having to live in.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Solutions Watch. In March of 2021, I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and today we're going to be talking to a new guest who...
You're not supposed to be talking right now. You came in too early, man. Go for the next segment of the show. I have to see this Klaus guy. He does. He's sick. He looks like that guy in that movie who just to take over the world. What is the name of that movie? It was a stupid spoof movie about spies. She Shagged Me or whatever it was. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. That's who this guy is. I bet he loves those movies. Now we have bumbling idiots who just care about their egos trying to flip and fight this cabal. Oh, goodness gracious sakes alive. Oh my goodness sakes alive. Yeah. For the sake of the idea of between realities, oh my gosh.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There was blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on a lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back. Yeah, oh, what a day. I don't have my little jobby in front of me, man, to let me know that I'm here. I have to go all the way back when I was trying to check out chat and what dimensional. Not dementia. I do MetaMask, but I don't really do it because I'm just not there. Oh, goodness. Okay, let's see. And that's what Monday afternoon is for. Is Row Corner. For the Bitcoin. So anyway. All right. Yeah, it's just 1 minute it won't work, the next minute it will work. I mean, I'm here. Just don't freak. Okay, now me.
Well, I am going to assume is already familiar to a lot of you in the crowd, but maybe not. His name is Curtis Stone, and you might know him as the Urban Farmer, although maybe we should start addressing him as the artist formerly known as the Urban Farmer. I think he has some qualifications about that term, but we'll get into that. The best way to find him right now is fromthefield.tv, but he has a presence in a lot of different places online. We'll talk about that today. Curtis Stone, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me, James. Happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, as I say, Curtis Stone, the Urban Farmer, was kind of the moniker under which I think you gained quite a lot of notoriety online. But that is changing. You've changed perspectives like a lot of us in the past year. Tell us about your change.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I got into urban farming because it was really the easiest way for me to get into farming at the time. I've kind of taken the stead pill, per se, a while ago, but I didn't really have the means to do it, because to go and buy land is to buy land and then put up a bunch of resources to build stuff on the land. So I got into agriculture by basically just leasing out people's front and backyards. And I started a business, a commercial farming business that way. And that was kind of my foray into being on the land and, you know, built a career out of that. But as you know, and many of your viewers know, the cities aren't all that hot right now. And so a lot of the things that were great about urban farming, even just a couple of years ago, are not there. I mean, when you've got a lot of people around the world social distancing and they're just terrified, they're afraid to talk to one another, you don't get the same, you know, a big part of what's great about urban farming is it's the social aspect. And it's probably one of the most actually practical parts of it, which really moves the needle in a positive way, I think. The food production is, let's be honest, you can produce food on bigger farms easier. But the urban aspect connects people, gets people together. You have a conversation with your neighbor. Politics aside, culture aside, sometimes language aside, talking to people walking by your garden is a great way to get to know people and sort of proselytize the idea of growing your own food. But the city right now is, it's scary. It's really scary. And it's not that it's scary. I'm not scared. But it's the people that walk by that just no longer want to engage. They're either wearing a mask, they want to just walk, get to their destination really quick, or they're on their phones. So it's not so great. And if you're paying attention to what's going on, especially here in Canada, we're moving into a serious technocracy. And there are things happening in cities particularly that are going to make life more and more miserable. And so myself, my wife and my two children, we want to be in the countryside and try to preserve as much as we can of our lifestyle.
I think a lot of people are going to resonate with what you're saying, regardless of where they are right now physically, because we've seen over the course of the past year. I mean, just take the prime example, New York City. I mean, who wants to live in a place like that at this point? There's a lot of people who are leaving, and for obvious reasons. But the question is, you know, where do you go and what do you start to do? And you mentioned the stead pill. I know what you mean by that, but I'm thinking there's probably a lot of people who don't. Let's talk about homesteading and what this concept is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the stead pill is really the idea, kind of like catching people like what the red pill means. We all know what that means. We've all taken it if they're watching your show. But I think a lot of the truth community don't really, they look at problems. They've read books like Tragedy and Hope or great, you know, listen to your shows for years and have a criticisms of what's going on, but not necessarily a lot of solutions to, okay, well, what do you do? There's lots of solutions. You've covered them in this show for years. But getting on the land and actually, you know, being able to be in control of your food, water, energy, and shelter are huge, because just look at what happened in Texas, right? Look at what can happen anywhere in centralized systems is a switch can be flipped. And then all of a sudden, you are waiting in a breadline. And so this is really all about taking accountability for that, especially in this time we're in now. I don't think there's ever been a better time to get on the land or at least get into smaller areas where there's less people, especially less crazy people, and start taking account for providing for yourself in the world.
So let's talk about that concept and people who are incredulous. That, I mean, can you really provide your own food, water, shelter, and energy? I mean, how are you going to do that? It's such a monumental task. Can you just go out there and start doing it? I mean, obviously, you have to build up to it. How do you do that?
It is a monumental task. There's no question about it. But it's like anything, baby steps. Just start. Get things going now. I mean, one thing people can start doing is just having food stored. That's really important. And then you can start planting some food. You know, I got into farming without owning any land and just started growing in people's front and backyards. So it's taken me really 10 years to get to a point where I can go out into the land and be confident that I can just carve it out and make it happen. But one way is just to really look at one particular problem. I mean, for me, I call them the four nexuses of human survival, the main four: food, water, energy, shelter. Okay, start with one. You know, which one can – food's probably – well, shelter is an easy one, but shelter and more or less being off grid and having heat. I've got a wood fire stove behind me here. It's kind of taking a pick at some of these and just doing something about it. So, I mean, one thing I started this year with some friends just as sort of an experiment is we started a cooperative farm. And I'm no longer commercially farming, but we basically went and leased a half an acre of land from a friend of mine's farm and just – got it prepared, put greenhouses on it, and started growing food together. And the work was very little, because when we're all pitching in, you know, maybe we spent 4 hours a week total of labor between all five people at the time to take care of it. And it was easy. We just kind of it happened. So the key is to just get something started and push forward.
All right. So, all right, let's talk about that. So I, as I say, I know a lot of people are feeling this and are looking around at their urban hellhole and wondering how they can get out and are starting to think along these lines. For people who find themselves in that boat, what sorts of considerations do they start looking at when they're trying to choose where to go?
Well, that's a really good question. And I think everybody's context is different, but let's imagine from the position of somebody living in a big city like, you know, are you from Calgary originally, Edmonton or
Calgary? Don't say somebody, Edmonton.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, somebody living in a big city like that, it's like just getting out of that city alone would do a lot for a sense of security with where we're going. I think going to a smaller community, we can't all buy land, but perhaps you could move to a smaller community and rent a house. You know, what you would pay for rent in downtown Calgary compared to what you would pay for rent in, you know, some tiny town out like Coaldale, Alberta or something, you can probably rent a house with a lot of yard space and have a lot of garden space just doing that as a renter. You know, that's an easy thing that people could do. Because to go and buy land is a big step. But something like that, just getting out of the city, getting out of the way of the craziness that's going to be going on and is going on, and then taking control of your food in some way or another, getting some gardens going, really having a lot of seeds and having a lot of food, stored food are two huge things. And then gardening is kind of the next step. But we can still buy things right now. And so let's take advantage of the time that we have. Things are available. We're not in absolute food crisis yet. So just having food stored is going to be huge.
So here's my take, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but I think you brought it up earlier. The sort of the community social aspect to urban farming is an essential part of this, because you are connecting with other people and proselytizing and or sharing ideas and or meeting like-minded people. That is an aspect of what people are thirsting for right now, as they're being locked down and locked away from each other and you can't talk to other human beings. Yeah, we are thirsting for that kind of social interaction. And that to me speaks to the idea of community as being the base of what we need to achieve. It's great to be able to think that I can be the lone wolf, you know, eating bugs and rainwater and living completely off the land, 100% self-sufficient, but I don't think that's the solution for everyone, or even for most people, or even for anyone, question mark. Maybe there are people who can do that. But I think it has to come down to community. And my sense is that you're never going to achieve the 100% self-sufficiency, but if you can at least become more self-reliant in a number of different ways and form connections with people in your area that can help to supplement that and create that community. That's kind of the vision of what I'm thinking for this. But tell me what your perspective is.
Well, and I agree. I agree 100%. No, the whole lone wolf prepper strategy is really difficult. And like, I'm a very social guy. I'm extroverted. And so I love to have people around me, and we've kind of done that naturally, even just by coming out to where we are. We've connected with a lot of people, but you're right. And so much of what's going to have to happen going forward is we're almost going to have to form our own sort of private societies, our own private communities. Because if it gets to the point where, you know, in Canada, where there's rumors of this Canada Health Pass coming out where, you know, you don't have this vaccine, you can't do anything. And I think it'll take time, that'll probably take years down the road till you can't go to the grocery store without it, because that would just be genocide in a way to a lot of people, right? The system doesn't want that to happen so quickly, but it might get to that point in time, especially with enough propaganda and enough fear-mongering with all of this, it could get that way. But people are really going to have to start collaborating in so many different ways and saying, look, like, come together. And I always tell people, you should know 5 people that have your back no matter what, that if things happen really quickly and you need to move or you need to go somewhere or you're just in need, 5 people that have your back, and you would do the same for them. That's the beginning of a community. And what's so important about community too is that we need to have reasons to be in a community. Just coming together in a community and saying, hey, we all like to, you know, sit around and smoke weed and talk politics, that's not really enough. Needs and benefits are so important in community. And I think the way, if we can find ways to, hey, I'll grow vegetables and fruit, and then I'll source my eggs from the guy down the street, or I'll source my pork from the guy up the road, or things like this, having these connections, especially starting to form them now, will be very important as things get tighter. And so that's one thing I always do everywhere I am. I always talk to other farmers, and because I'm a farmer, I can kind of know how to strike up conversation with them and get to know them. And I take that very seriously. We get very little of our food from the conventional system. So the majority of it comes from things we grow or things that we can get from people we know.
Excellent. Well, tell us a little bit about From the Field then. Why did you start this, and what kind of material do you have there?
So I started that a couple years ago. I saw the writing on the wall with the censorship, and I was getting to a point, you know, most people just knew me as a guy who made videos about urban farming and things like that. But I kind of started to have a hard time keeping my mouth shut on certain issues. You know, I've been watching your videos for years, and took the red pill a long time ago, really. Read G. Edward Griffin's book was one of the first books I ever read, kind of blew my mind about central banking. And I couldn't help but started talking about this stuff. So I knew at some point that the censors would come for me as they have come for you. And so I said, I'm just going to create my own platform and then just start. And, you know, if only 1% of my audience on YouTube come in there, great. And that's what it was to start. And it's probably more than that now. But it's basically been my way of protecting myself from the tech censors and just controlling my content and deciding what I want to say and where I want to put it and not have to worry about somebody deleting my videos.
So what kind of content? I mean, like people who are don't know about what you're doing, what specific kind of examples of things?
Specifically, what I do is I showcase the work that I do on the land, farming, market gardening, now designing a broad acre permaculture property. And then I've traveled around the world interviewing other great farmers and homesteaders and off-gridders and preppers. And I put all that content into this site. So what's different about this than a place like YouTube is it's difficult to make a career as a content creator if you are making long form content. I'm sure you could probably relate with me on this, is because if things aren't clickbaity, YouTube isn't really going to pay you much money. So I have found that it's important to just go to the niche, the small amount of people that want quality. And so we do high quality, long form, super detailed content that isn't about clicks and nice thumbnails and whatever. It's just about conveying a specific idea on a certain type of land, like looking at something like aquaculture, really delving into that with an expert. And so I travel to them and document all these great growers.
Now, okay, so as I say, I'm sure everyone is thinking about this in some sense. Wherever they are, I'm sure they're looking at what the nonsense that's going on and thinking, I got to get out of here in some way. But obviously, that's not possible, or at least not all at once for everyone. Is there a sort of intermediate step that people can be taking, or ways that people can, in an urban environment, be preparing themselves? Or are you giving up on that altogether?
No, because let's face it, a lot of good people are going to be in a situation where they just can't pick up and quit their job, or maybe they have a family and their wife isn't totally on board with them, or vice versa, or who knows? There's an infinite amount of circumstances. Yes, there are things people can do to prepare. I think in a city, it's really important to have a backup plan. Like, where are you going to go if it gets so unbearable and the boot of the state is on your neck and everybody else's, and you're going, I have to get out of here, we have to leave now? So you need to have an alternative way to get out. Usually that's not a car, because if everybody wants to get out of the city, if everybody gets woke at the same time, nobody's getting out, right? So having an alternative way to get out, that could be a dirt bike, that could be a good mountain bike. You should have a bug out bag, like a bag that you can basically just grab and go, that has at least 7 days of food in it, water, some basic survival supplies, maybe a ham radio, or you know, some things that you could just grab and go. Also, having, if you're stuck in a city, just having a way to cook some food, heat your home, and have some food. So everybody wants to get out at once. Like I said, nobody's getting out. You might say, well, you know what? It might be better just to lay low for 7 days, 8 days, let the craziness die down, then go. And so you need to have a way to cook. You need to have a way to heat your home and all these things. And so everybody, I always say this, everybody should have at least 1 year's worth of stored food in their home. That's not that hard to do. Just like a lot of dried stuff, you know, so you're not going to have the best meals, but you can eat and survive. Everybody should have something like that in their home. And then this way, you at least have options if the time comes where you have to get out and you got to hunker down for a while, or you just got to get up and go.
All right. I really want to start getting into sort of specific techniques and things, but hopefully we can do that in the future. Today was just to introduce people to the idea of homesteading and what this entails. Are there any sort of last thoughts you want to leave people with on this topic?
Yeah. I mean, if people want to see some of the stuff that I'm doing on my land, again, they can head to my website, fromthefield.tv. But the thing that it's important, I think, to finish with is that I say all this stuff not because I want to create fear. I'm not trying to, and I know you're not trying to create fear. We talk about these things to raise awareness and just give people a dose of reality. And so I always say it looks like things are going crazy, but enjoy it. Have fun. Be happy. Because if you're miserable and the world's going to shit, you still lose. You might as well enjoy it and have fun. And so that's what's kind of nice about doing anything on the land, whether it's growing your own food or put it in a small orchard or just starting to think about how you exist on the land. It's really enjoyable. Getting grounded and connecting with the earth is something that so many people are lacking in their lives right now. And it's something that brings such an incredible quality of life. And it's great for kids too.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, what better education could there be than the education that humanity has had for however many millennia, which Absolutely. Is, you know, growing up, producing your own food, interacting with people in the real world rather than sitting there in front of screens in their urban hellhole. You know, yeah, absolutely. I imagine everyone will resonate with that. That message. If they don't, I don't know what they're doing here. But the question is how they bring that to their own personal situation. And as you say, context is everything. And there's so many different situations that people find themselves in. I hope they will at least start checking out your work and looking for specific ideas of what they can be implementing in their own lives. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. As I say, I want to continue having this conversation in the future. Curtis, thank you so much for coming on today.
Right on, James. Thank you.
I think I'm unmuted. Yes, I do. I think I'm unmuted. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood somewhere. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood somewhere. Cause somebody's trying to make it so. It's all up to each one of us. And I believe what the kid was saying. I was teaching survival and bug out and all the rest of that. But that was in St. Pete, Florida. I could get out of Florida pretty fast, but now, there'd be no way that I could physically, literally, nope. I wish I had that. I really do. I wish I had that mobility. Yep. Is that? Okay, so that is what I have now. I was thinking that. I'm thinking I might as well do that, right? Is that which one it is? Yep. So, that's when we get back. Yes. We shall overcome if we can put our minds to it and have enough people around you that actually isn't in fear of living this manifested caca of man versus nature and creativity. Got to get our creative back on. Yeah. If I had a vehicle, I would put on the back of it, I do not consent. end of discussion. But I don't. I don't plan on having one. I would think more like a horse, but hey. Seriously. Seriously. I'd love to be on a farm. I mean, there is some stuff I can do. Yeah. I'd love to be on a farm. Right now, it's still residential. But I've been wondering why it hasn't happened since I've known all about it for decades.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, The Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Ay, 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 please, ach, the mundi, ay. Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Hook us up. Keep us on air by helping, by donating. That's right. So, today is the 16th day of March 2021. So, some interesting information here, right? Well, I have to go back to where I was. Okay. So let's go back here so I can put them up top more. Okay, I mean, she might have put that in there. Where did I go? There I am. I have to be here because if I'm not, then you can't listen to the video.
Welcome to Open Source News. Please like, share, and subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you don't miss a thing. Have a blessed day.
Welcome to Open Source News. I am your brother and your host, BCP. I hope you're having a great weekend so far. Folks, I'm going to ask you off the bat, if you like this video, please hit the like button and make some comments down below. Your increased engagement by making comments down below and pressing the like button is helping us creep a little bit outside of the naughty list that we've been on for so long on this platform. Our analytics show that even though we're not really getting shared with people who are not yet subscribers for the most part, more of our subscribers are seeing our content. So we appreciate you hitting the like button and also commenting down below on this video. And if you haven't yet done so, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. And if you are subscribed, make sure you still are. All right, folks, let's get into the news this weekend. I want to point something out to you that happened the other day in the Rose Garden. Biden was with the congressional Democrats, and he's talking about how he may appoint Vice President Kamala Harris to go ahead and implement the $1.9 trillion monstrous spending bill, relief bill that has 9% or less of actual relief legislation in it. And I want to play this clip for you. I don't want to analyze it because there's a lot of things going on in here that I think are important, and it'll segue us into a few other stories that I want to share with you that you'll find interesting. And then we're going to get into Trump being a party crasher. So let me play this clip for you.
This is not over. Conditions can change. We're not finished yet. Conditions can change. The scientists have warned us about new variants of this virus. And the devil is in the details of implementing this legislation. I know from experience when the president turned to me like I haven't done to the vice president yet and said, take care of it. You take care of implementing the plan. But she could do it.
Poor Joey doesn't know if his handler, Harris, is over his left shoulder. Oh, no, that's Chucky. Or his right shoulder. Oh, there she is. Now, my observation has been that when he's at the podium speaking, his handler, the vice president, is generally over his right shoulder. But when he has questions about you know, what is he signing, what he should do with the executive orders before him, because he didn't write them or lead them. He is just a puppet for a cabal of people behind him. Usually that's when Harris is over his left shoulder or close to him to just tell him, go ahead and sign it, Joe, just go ahead and sign it. So it's understandable that he got confused. Joey gets confused very often these days. But he's already signaling, and we're going to see that, as I covered before, that we're going to see Harris a lot more in charge. She is doing a lot of things behind the scenes. We've had several reports of her talking to Macron, to Netanyahu, and other world leaders, pretty much taking on the role of the presidency while Joey takes naps and plays Mario Kart at Camp David. So that is one of the first things. But I want to play you a little bit more of this. I think there's actually a lesson here for our states in this anecdote and this low-key insult by Biden on former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin.
But I remember being given the dubious distinction of having to implement the Recovery Act back in when we came into office, Barack and I. I spent literally 4 or 5 hours a day for 6 months. I talked to over 160 mayors, probably more than two or three times. Every governor save one who was looking at from Alaska to Russia, and making sure that we're in a situation where we talk to everybody. But it takes the devil's in the details.
Joey's obviously talking there about Sarah Palin, referencing a Tina Fey sketch from Saturday Night Live back in 2008. When then Sarah Palin was the vice presidential nominee candidate running with McCain. But here is the lesson. In 2009, Biden worked to spend nearly $900 billion. Palin was one of the Republican governors who articulated a principal opposition to the Obama stimulus bill because it was designed to grow states' government expenditures, but the federal government's obligation for them would phase out, leaving the states responsible to cover this growth in government. Palin said she was against increased federal programs that will become a state's unfunded mandate to continue funding for generations. And that's what the Miami Herald had reported at the time. And according to Sarah Palin, she accepted just 69% of the stimulus money without strings that would bind the state later. So she did a great job in managing the overreaching Fed, telling states what to do, how to spend their money, getting them to, with the stimulus at the time, getting them to spend more money than they had and then not being there to back them up. Well, we're seeing now that, of course, the federal government with this new relief bill is there to back up the governments of failed Democrat blue states. I've covered that before, where this bill is pretty much incentivizing bad behavior. It's bailing out those that did poorly, that locked down their states, and there's less money for those that actually did well. So that's interesting. But the lesson here is that the states are the only not the only, but the main stop, the main opposition we have to the Biden administration, his regime, and what they're trying to do to absolutely be an unconstitutional, tyrannical federal government telling everyone what to do. And we've seen people push back on this. We've seen DeSantis push back on Biden and his agenda. We've seen Texas Governor Greg Abbott do the same. As well as others. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the states exercising their power as states, as sovereign states, to thwart many of these federal plans.
The president promised help is on the way. And today, help has arrived.
And now we're seeing the continued public face of the Harris-Biden administration, Kamala Harris. And she addressed as well with her soon-to-be second, Nancy Pelosi, over her left shoulder. Now, folks, do not be surprised when the 25th Amendment or some other thing is used, or under some other guise, she takes official control of a presidency that is not officially theirs anyway. Well, you know what I mean when I say that. we'll leave it at that. If you want my full analysis without wordplay, go to bcpextras.com and check out our new show Monday through Friday. Now, what I want to show you here is what she says, and it's pure, using a Biden word he likes, malarkey. It's a pure lie, and I'll tell you why.
Help has arrived for the workers who lost their jobs. Help has arrived for the students who've been stuck at home. Help has arrived for the families that have struggled to put food on their table, and for the small businesses that have struggled to keep their doors open. Help has arrived, America.
This is where I am just dismayed at how bad the deep state has gotten. Look, Harris is the person they wanted all along. She was to be their new Obama. A female, a woman of color, put her in. No one can say anything bad about her, because if you do, then you're a racist and a misogynist. It was great. It was going to work great for them, except that no one liked her. She got less than 2% in the Democrat primaries. So they had to go through all this other stuff. And if you think about it, like one journalist said, Biden is true white privilege. Think about it. The left, the Democrats, are always decrying, oh, the myth of white privilege, seem to be actually using the old white male privilege of Joe Biden to just whisk him into office and then backdoor Harris into the presidency. But we could talk about the details of that at some other time. But here she is spewing her lies out. They forced the lockdowns, yet they're going to save you. This is the old Marxist play of being the problem and then setting yourself up as a solution to the problem to gain power. It's an old play they've been using for a long time, and here we go again. But it's because of bad Democrat policies that all these things are happening, that businesses are not open, that lockdowns are happening. And we're going to put kids back in school when the teachers' unions that want to continue getting paid and not actually have to show up in class are the ones thwarting children going back to school, along with the Biden administration. This whole thing is a sham. Now, I want to get back to Joey and a very great observation that many of us have made, but I love the breakdown. Are we actually seeing the same Joey today than just from a few years ago? And as you'll see in this clip, I'm not talking about we have a clone here and like that. That's nonsense. Are we talking about just, we know cognitively there's issues here, but there's way more to it than that. Check this out.
The scientists have made clear that things may get worse again as new variants of the virus spread. We've got work to do to ensure that everyone has confidence in the safety and effectiveness of all three vaccines. So my message to you is this. Listen to Dr. Fauci.
Now, what I want you to do is pay attention to Joe Biden's face and Joe Biden's eyes as he tells us that we have to listen to Dr. Anthony, the flip-flopper.
One of the most distinguished and trusted voices in the world. He's assured us the vaccines are safe. They underwent rigorous scientific review. I know they're safe.
Physically. You compare, and I think we got that, if we can get that photo up later, to compare Joe Biden before with the blue Irish eyes and the glint and the laugh. And last night, man, it's not that thing is scary. And I think the White House got to come forward. What's with the eyes, right? Is it medication? Right.
Well, I put a different graphic up today just so you can see I sent this to you, night.
Yeah. For the podcast audience, we're comparing and contrasting before and after.
There's a contrast of a man, I think, 15 years ago on the left and today on the right. I mean, there is obviously clear decline, but there is some really weird tells here. I'm not saying that it's a clone or that he's been body snatched, but you would be forgiven for thinking so. I mean, the eyes are jet black in this image.
Steve is right. Jet black eyes from a man didn't have black eyes before. And if you look at the image, you know, obviously he's had work done. We saw that almost immediately. So did Harris with the puffiness initially and then just everything stretched back or what have you. You know, it is kind of interesting. There's more space between his nose and his mouth. His, you know, just the eyes. Something very scary, as Steve said, about Joey's eyes. It's as if the lights are on, but no one's home. Perhaps being medically propped up.
Things have moved on his face significantly. People noticed last night. He's had so much work done.
He's had work, yeah.
The whole face has pulled back so much that his earlobes don't exist anymore. They've tucked his face back into his earlobes.
He's had a lot of work.
And remember, we used to mock and deride and have to stand through CNN and all these guys saying, oh, Trump had a fake tan. Look at this guy.
Yeah. But I'm most worried. I see the work that's been done. I used to get John Kerry. But to the point, there's something that's dead about it. There's something that's not life. This whole thing about the commander in grief, the therapy. Are we to what Victor Davis Hanson calls the therapeutic society, that we need a pat on the head? Pathetic. Is that the commander in chief's response? Pathetic.
What are your thoughts? Put it down below. I've seen you guys' comments in the past, everywhere from he is medically hypnotized and robotic to some of you believe he's actually a clone and not the real deal. So, I don't believe the latter one. I believe more of the former one, that there's cocktails keeping him afloat. But put down what you think below. When I mean cocktails, I'm not talking about your happy hour cocktails. I'm talking about medically concocted cocktails. But put your thoughts down below. And just one last thing before we get on to Joey and on to the party crashing of President Trump. I want to play you a clip again from Harris, because you heard Steve say there, it's like, you know, they're patting us on the head. It's condescending. They think we are less than children and we need their help and that the relief bill is there for us. So I'm going to play you again just a clip of what Harris said and then Senator Kennedy's hilarious, hilarious response to all of this relief bill nonsense.
The president promised help is on the way, and today help has arrived.
Senator, are you celebrating the greatest progressive bill in the history of our country?
Well, I voted against it, Brian. President Biden says it's a coronavirus bill, and my response is right. You know, when the stripper really likes you. I said the other day that calling this a coronavirus bill is like calling Harvey Weinstein a feminist. It's just chock full of spending porn.
Oh, that's funny. I've never been to a strip club my entire life, but I do get that reference of and believing the stripper likes you. That's funny. That was funny. You could even see Brian laughing over there, you know, saying Harvey is a feminist and calling it exactly what it is, triple X spending. So I thought that was very, very funny. All right, let's get to what happened at Mar-a-Lago. There was a fundraiser for folks that were trying to fundraise for an organization to bring dogs from China to the United States. Not familiar with this, but it was at Mar-a-Lago. And it appears that President Trump was finishing a round of golf, heard them cheer, and decided to, I don't know, crash the party or join the fundraiser, gave an impromptu speech, and he seems to be announcing something that we anticipated was going to happen as far as another Trump running for office very, very shortly.
So I didn't exactly prepare for this, but I was walking and I hear everybody screaming in the bar. I said, what's going on? They said, we're going to help dogs. And that's okay with me. That's what we want to do. I want to thank Lori, and I want to thank Laura, who's been so incredible. And I don't know, you're running for the Senate. I think she's going to be fine.
All right, so you can see what happened there. President Trump crashed a fundraiser for dog rescues in China. This happened on Friday night at Mar-a-Lago. You can see the crowd was absolutely enthralled and thrilled to see President Trump, who made this impromptu appearance. And this is the report. Donald Trump has made a surprise appearance at a dog rescue fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago after returning to his home base in Florida following a quick trip to New York. The former president delighted attendees at the event held Friday night to raise money for Big Dog Ranch Rescue as he took to the stage for an impromptu speech which was shared to Twitter by journalist T.A. Walker. And you heard what he had to say. And one of the things that was interesting is that he points out to Laura Trump, who says, I don't know, she may be running for Senate, a senator of North Carolina, which we have reported here, and I have reported on this channel that seems to be in the works. I'm going to play the rest of the clip. You can hear the people saying loudly, you know, things like "I love you" and just a lot of support. Laurie Simmons, the president and founder of Big Dog Ranch Rescue, hosted the fundraiser event in the hopes of raising $500,000 to bring 500 dogs from China to the United States. Everyone's got their cause.
And I want to thank you all for what you're doing. It's so important. It's so great. And so important. And I'm with you 100%. And we had many meetings in the White House and the Oval Office having to do with saving and helping dogs. And that's what we want to do. And that's why we're here. And tremendous progress has been made. And we've had many meetings, actually, on it, and things that I never even would think is possible in terms of some of the cruelty and the horrible things that happen. And we've turned around and made them great things, right? We've made them great things. So I just want to thank you, and I hope you're having a good time.
And it's true, as President Trump heard all kinds of concerns from dogs needing to be rescued from other countries to all other kinds of causes that he may or may not have been familiar with as a private citizen, but gets brought to the attention of presidents. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. We will have another report or two for you this weekend. Make sure you have that notification bell rung and that you subscribed. And please like this video and comment down below. Enjoy your weekend. And as I said, we'll have more reports for you. Until then, ciao, goodbye, and God bless.
Thanks for joining us on Open Source News. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and turn on the notifications bell so you don't miss out on any real news.
President Biden is nearly halfway through his first 100 days. He has yet
to... Not in my world. Oh, my gosh. Just so much sometimes. What a reality, huh? Gosh. After what I heard about it all this today, about between the light versus the dark, and what we've not known about? What we have not known about? All the atrocities that work on the etheric side that nobody here is recognizing because they don't know that life isn't just the fairy tale and fantasy that they've tried to show us isn't real, and that's really how it works. Prayers are like incantations. They can go both sides because it's all in the use of the energies behind and with the intent of a purpose and thing to occur for some kind of outcome. Now, I know in my part of my prayers is that I give thanks and I bless things and I try to love things. I'm not asking for anything because I know what I will need will be provided. And so I don't go asking for things. Every now and then I make a big suggestion. Oh, hey, that would be cool. You know what I mean? And the universe gets it. I don't have to beg. I don't have to do anything else. And the things that will and supposed to occur because of my intent of the way I use my prayers. I mean, to me, life is like an awake meditation and prayer. Don't you give thanks? I mean, oh, I saw a bug the other day. I was so excited. And I see the daffodils and I give thanks because it provides a moment of joy, which counteracts all the damnation that's going on. And I try to have more patience than I probably do sometimes because I would love to plant the Brussels sprouts and the cabbage in the garden, but that area is not ready yet. So, yeah, my first go with Brussels sprouts and cabbage. let's see what happens. Yeah, because I still have some rows from last season, so I'm debating, though, if I should just get some kind of topsoil and make some mounds or not. No, because I got to get one part tilled that's basically ready to till in. I've got other amendments I want to stick with it, so. And it was already tilled last season, so it's got aerated, and we'll see what happens. That's if the tiller works, and etc. All right, be right back.
Came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change.
that time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Nigger maybe too. I don't know. Interesting. Okay. Just because.
To hold a press conference. He has yet to take questions. He said he wanted to take questions the other night. They turned the lights out on him. And then you've got Vice President Kamala Harris meeting with international leaders, Benjamin Netanyahu, Macron, all of these leaders that she's doing these meetings. What is going on? Are we getting ready for some kind of a transition?
You have to wonder whether or not the transition to Harris has already begun.
This is Open Source News. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and turn on the notification bell so you can be the first to see any new videos.
Welcome to Open Source News. I am your brother and your host, BCP. Let's talk the transition that's already starting. I said last year that it wouldn't even be 6 months before they transitioned from Joey over to Harris. And it looks like that's happening. Let me share some inside scoop, some inside information we have from former Clintonite Dick Morris in a bipartisan support against Joey and the transition using the 25th Amendment. By the way, if you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. And if you haven't yet done so, hit that subscribe button. The two things you can do to help us the most, doesn't cost you anything, is to first hit that like button and then comment down below. Also, at the end of this video, I'll go back to a few things that that Representative Matt Gaetz said to Maria Bartiromo on Sunday Futures yesterday. She had a phenomenal show. I'll show you a few more clips of that on bcpextras.com. Our off-platform show, she just knocked it out of the park. She has done that every once in a while where she has one episode where there's so many guests dropping so many nuggets, it almost takes up a good portion of what I cover on Monday. We'll get to a little bit of that in the next show. But I want to, at the end of this episode, show you some insight Gaetz has on the whole FBI debacle. You'll see that it is a confirmation of what I was talking about on our midnight show about 8 or 9 or 10 hours ago. So let's get into Dick Morris. Not familiar, Dick Morris is one of Clinton's people. He's known to have gone back and forth and flip-flopping between being between a Republican and a Democrat. But he does have some inside knowledge, and he has come out with news earlier than others in the past as well. This is what he had to say on Sunday about what's going on with Joey, his transition, and what's going on in D.C. with a bipartisan effort to essentially oust him from office due to, let's just say, a lack of mental faculty.
What's going on in Washington? Well, we have our chief strategist. He was a Republican. He was a Democrat. And he's got his ear to the ground in Washington. We have with us Dick Morris.
To get four Democrats and four Republicans in the Senate, which is very unusual, have come to an agreement on legislation to repeal the War Powers Act that was granted to Bush Sr. for Kuwait and Bush Jr. for Iraq in 1991 and 2002. Now, those are War Powers Acts that basically permitted the U.S. to send in troops. And at the time, they were very controversial. But now they're just rotting away on the statute book, still in effect, though. And it enabled Biden to bomb Syria last week using the Iraq War Powers Act. He bombed Syrian troops in Iraq. And they are seeking to repeal that. Now, when you combine that with the fact that 30 Democrats sent a letter to Biden last week asking him to give up sole control of the nuclear codes so that a strike could not be launched without consulting, and the one version with his cabinet and another version with leaders of Congress, something that no president has been asked to do in 76 years that we've had the bomb. I think both of those indicate that the Democrats have in the back of their minds, and increasingly toward the front of their minds, moving to oust Biden over the 25th Amendment.
Think about that. Four Democrats and four Republicans, so this truly is a bipartisan, in the Senate. So that's that is 8% of the Senate have come to an agreement to repeal Joey's powers because they're worried about him. Or perhaps the Democrats have all of a sudden seen the light. I don't think so. I think politically, or as far as policy is concerned, I don't think it's about policy. I think it's about Biden and their distrust of him, because quite honestly, both sides of the aisle love the industrial complex and the war machine. Now, what I think is very interesting is that he says that it's in the back of their minds and increasingly toward the front of their minds to oust Joey using the 25th Amendment. Now, remember, we heard about the 25th Amendment in January when Pelosi was trying to get Mike Pence to oust President Trump via the 25th Amendment, saying if he didn't do that, then they would move on impeachment. But let me remind you that in October, Pelosi was talking about the 25th Amendment and ousting the president on that.
So, Madam Speaker, thanks for your time as always. You said flat out, this legislation is not about President Trump. So why introduce it now?
Well, it isn't about President Trump. It's about the Constitution of the United States, the continuity of government.
And at the time, I broke it down for you and told you that she is very clearly saying this is not just about Trump. And I told you back in October and November that I think this was a setup, that if Joe Biden were to get into office, because we already knew back then that the rig was in, President Trump had talked about it, and we suspected that they would try to do something. We just had no idea they'd be successful. We said back then on this channel that this was probably also a way to instill Harris, who really is the intended installed regime headliner, not Joey. I'm going to play you the clip again of what Nancy Pelosi said in October. You can see that she is making sure that everyone's aware that she's setting this up to not just be about Trump. And then I'm going to play for you a little bit more of what Dick Morris had to say, tying this all together.
This is not about President Trump. He will face the judgment of the voters. But he shows the need for us to create a process for future presidents. The 25th Amendment creates a path for preserving stability if a president suffers a crippling physical or mental problem and is, unquote, in the amendment, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office and transfers his powers.
Nancy Pelosi clearly making the case this is not about Trump. He will face the voters. Remember, this is in October. This is 3 weeks plus before the general elections. Is it possible that Nancy knew the plan of the Marxist, of the uniparty elites, and how they were going to finagle things in six or seven places to throw the election in favor of a man who couldn't get anybody out to see him, was disliked by most people in his own party, and hadn't even bothered to campaign? Was this really a setup even in October to pave the way for Harris to take over for Joey?
And to add to that, another piece of the puzzle. In October, Nancy Pelosi introduced a bill to set up a commission to invoke the 25th Amendment. A commission would have to approve it before the amendment got invoked and the president got ousted. Now, she did that as a propaganda shot at Trump, who was president at the time. But it's pretty clear to me that I think she also had Biden in mind. And wow. I believe that what's going on now is that the left wing of the Democratic Party, particularly some of the minorities, are working on laying the basis for invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Biden. And as he gets more and more senile, and he shows more and more evidence of brain freeze, there have been three notable instances in the last 2 weeks, I think momentum to that will increase.
What we have here, being reported by Dick Morris, is that we have legislators pushing back on Joey having war powers, authority, and we're seeing that they are pushing for his oust via the 25th Amendment, something that Nancy Pelosi had proposed in October, giving legislators, not just doctors, not just the cabinet, as has been the 25th Amendment up to this point, but actually giving legislators, another branch of government, the opportunity, the authority, and the power to actually get in there and invoke a 25th Amendment. Was she forewarning us? Was she setting the stage? I don't know. Let's look at the proposition from October again, and you decide.
Specifically, Section 4 of the amendment empowers Congress to set up an independent body to confront such a crisis. Congress has a constitutional duty to lay out the process by which a president's incapacity and the president of any party is determined. This bill honors the duty by creating a standing commission of top former executive officials and medical experts selected in a bipartisan, bicameral way. A president's fitness for office must be determined by science and facts. This legislation applies to future presidents.
And of course, Nancy Pelosi is looking out for the country. There's no self-serving here. I mean, it doesn't really matter that if they kick Joey to the curb and Harris becomes the number one, Pelosi becomes number two. California leftist politics poisoning the entire country.
No one wants Kamala Harris to be the next president and have the San Francisco duo, Speaker Pelosi and Kamala Harris, run the whole country.
Yeah.
I think impeaching Kamala Harris is important if Nancy Pelosi wants to impeach Joe Biden.
Yeah, but
Remove him from office.
That would be a Democrat. That would be a Republican initiative, the thing you just talked about. But what I'm talking about now are Democratic initiatives from Biden's own party. And they'll never go to impeach Kamala Harris, but they may well go to remove Biden from office under the 25th Amendment.
That's real serious stuff going on in Washington. Is it doable or is it...
I think it's inevitable.
The ousting of Joey by members of his own party is already in the works and inevitable, according to insider Dick Morris. And once again, like I said in October, like I said in January, and as both Dick Morris and I are saying today, the seeds of this are months old. And of course, it makes sense. Pelosi is power hungry, and this would serve her power hunger quite well. Now let's get back to Matt Gaetz. I don't know why I keep calling him Mike today. Let's get back to Matt Gaetz, congressman out of Florida, and his insight that agrees with me and our midnight live show that I did several hours ago about the FBI working against the people. He does a great job on this segment for Maria Bartiromo. He's not on my short list, but he is on a list of possible people looking at a future presidential bid. I don't think in 2024 he would come up. He's fairly young, but I think they're grooming him, and I think he's grooming himself possibly for that position. He says the right things. He is a warrior. He is a he is devoted to Trump and Trump's policies. So I'm not totally against it. It's just, once again, for those who've been here for a while, know that when it comes to presidents, I prefer not senators, not congressmen and women. I prefer executives to be in the executive branch. So people like President Trump, who have executive experience in the private sector, and then the public sector, I generally prefer governors. Let's get into Matt Gaetz and the evil, corrupt, anti-American Federal Bureau of Investigation, who are really, if you think about it, are the true domestic threat.
Well, in the 90s, we had The Hunt for Red October as a popular Sean Connery movie. Now we have The Hunt for the Red MAGA Hat, with the FBI using every opportunity to try to delegitimize a movement that really exposed them. Members of Congress exposed the FBI and the Department of Justice for hiding evidence during the Russia hoax, for changing evidence before a secret court. And remember, these weren't just political appointees. You had the supposed career officials who are above reproach, who ended up being involved in these improper actions. And so now you have what Senator Mike Lee has called an intolerable encroachment on the separation of powers, with the FBI seizing phone records. And the New York Times just recently had to sheepishly report that there were no communications between members of Congress and any of the people who breached the Capitol. But that has not stopped the FBI from doing everything they can to try to target those who don't agree with their politics and who have exposed their own lies and corruption.
I think it's incredible. I think it's fascinating, sad, and telling how partisan and hateful people are. And I had this conversation with Juniorette. She is our, I would say, our main reporter on non-political news on the BCP Report, our other channel. Please check the link in the description down below if you're not subscribed there. She will continue her reporting this week on that channel. We were just talking sometime here recently, and she said, she echoed the sentiments of my heart. This is my my daughter, who is in her third year of college, and she's fairly young. For those not aware, junior and juniorette were homeschooled, and they finished high school in 3 years. So, you know, they're in their early 20s and just about to finish college. But I was talking to Juniorette, and I remember her specifically echoing something perhaps she heard me say, or so it could be that, but I think she was coming to realization herself. She's like, oh my gosh, Daddy, that these people are so anti-government, anti-Trump a few months ago, totally fight the power, not trust government, and now they're throwing all of their hope behind Joey and his administration, who have been in government since before I was born. This is obviously Juniorette talking. Actually, Joey's been in government before I was born. He's been in government that long, I think about it. And how is it that these people are distrustful, but they want to give all the power to the same people they distrust? And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the FBI saying, distrust everyone. And even though we're distrustful, trust us to fix the trust issue. And of course, they are projecting, they are making the enemy of everyday folk who question the legitimacy of things, because we haven't had a trial. It hasn't seen its day in court. There's plenty of evidence. Doesn't matter if this platform and others don't want us to talk about it. There's plenty of evidence to question. Let's just leave it at that while we're on this platform. There's plenty of evidence to question what happened on the 4th of November and thereafter. But no, we are the enemy. It is the crooks calling the investigators the crooks or crooked for investigating their crimes. It's classic Marxism. It has been around for a long time. And sadly, it's evident. It's not even just evident. It's blazing. It's blaring in our face that the true forces working against American people are many institutions, many agencies in the U.S. government. But one of the biggest ones, because they have the power, not legitimately, but but they have the power, they have the might to do so with their resources, is the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
This is just extraordinary, and it all fits in with the show that we have been given of the 7-foot fences and the barbed wire around the Capitol. That's the point. Continue to spread this narrative that Donald Trump and any of his supporters are insurrectionists. Now, you just said something very important, using this to get data and information and cell phones from lawmakers. What can you tell us?
Listen to Matt Gaetz's answer. It's a cautionary tale. It is a warning that what the FBI is doing to legislators and have been doing to legislators and our duly elected and beloved President Donald John Trump for the last several years is out in the public eye. And you can rest assured that we are next. Actually, we already are on their target. You see, the most wanted people are people that were just around the Capitol on January 6th. Or inside the Capitol. And I remind you, it was not an armed insurrection. No arms were confiscated. No arms were involved. And a matter of fact, a Trump supporter fell victim to arms by the actual people armed inside, Capitol Police, etc. So this whole thing is being misconstrued and being misrepresented for what it is. What it is the FBI doing the bidding of the deep state and going after everyone in opposition of the false narrative, whether they are elected officials or everyday United States citizens.
The FBI used a drip data out of a particular location during the Capitol breach. That pull included records from members of Congress, records that showed no connection to the rioters in any type of direction or communication. But if members of Congress, if the legislative branch of government can be swept into a massive collection effort by political actors at the FBI and Department of Justice, just imagine what they can do to regular Americans that they want to target for their politics. So it's, you know, Donald Trump one day, members of Congress the next, but it won't be long before the FBI becomes more and more like every other agency of government, targeting their opponents, helping their friends.
Oh, I don't know, kind of like Obama and his administration and Lois Lerner over at the IRS targeting Tea Party groups and conservative groups. No, folks, it's worse than that. They are emboldened. When you are able to get away with the biggest thievery in the history of the United States, nothing stops you from just not even worrying about transparency. Yeah, just go ahead and put your friends in high places, signaling to the opposition, hey, we're in control here. No one's going to stop us. And we're even going to put our people in to continue the harassment and the police state against those that oppose us. Folks, these are scary times.
We have to point out, Maria, that you've got Hunter Biden's lawyer's law partner, who is now leading the criminal division in the United States Department of Justice. It should remove any sense of objectivity or credibility to the work that they're doing. And speaking of no credibility, Nancy Pelosi has appointed General Honoré to conduct a security review. That would be like having Governor Andrew Cuomo do your sexual harassment policy review. This guy has already called for Lauren Boebert to be on a no-fly list, for Josh Hawley to be disbarred. This is not how due process works in our country. You start with the facts and then allow that to drive the investigation. You don't start with your desired political outcome and then try to reverse engineer fact gathering.
This is all so troubling, Congressman.
Troubling indeed. Please put your comments down below. And because this has been pretty heavy reporting, I mean, just think that the FBI is essentially making an enemy out of everyone that questions the narrative of November 4th. And
how come we still have these a-hole clowns in office? Why? Why? Why are they still there? I can't believe this crap at all. And people aren't seeing it. I know people aren't seeing it. I've thought about homesteading, things like that. I mean, I really, it's just, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Seriously. It's hard to believe there's a tomorrow that's going to be for everybody's favor, for the way that we are being directed and instructed and people following fear. Following fear, bowing down, sticking their rear ends up in the air because their head's in the ground. And the ones who aren't going to fall for it, well, now we're the targets. Because we want to live by the truest manner of life's existence instead of by somebody's protocol or rules or agendas that are just in man's mind to think that they have that power to override all creation and stuff like that. Because we're allowing it. It's a shame. Y'all should be ashamed. We all should be ashamed.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.